Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. What we realize is that suffering in any content area is caused by the karma, not the content. However, we're conditioned to frame it around the content. Your assignment, choose a behavior change that addresses the karmic bamboozle, not the content issue. Make sure you choose something that is within the focus for the month and can be practiced for a week. For example, I'm going to say yes to one unexpected thing every day. Make a commitment poster that states your behavior change. Make a recording that, one, refutes the self-hating messages, and two, replaces the conditioned conversation with what you choose instead.
Sounds good.
Here's our
what
first
happened?
Caller.
All right.
You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Jan calling from the monastery.
Well, good morning, Jan.
Good morning.
Seeing?
So the behavior change that I chose is to stop every hour for at least 3 minutes and just sit. And, yeah, it's so big.
Sometimes that'll be so, out on a rock somewhere, right?
Exactly,
on the side of the road.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
And I saw a really beautiful thing, kind of one of those duh moments, but I really experienced it and appreciated it. The connection between the assignment that I guess was just the day before this one, the one that Ashwini says she loves so much, which I'm right with her. I think it's a brilliant assignment, the one around basically the answer is in the self-hating message. It's just hidden in there, but hidden in plain sight, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But what I saw was how perfectly the behavior change follows on that because, so for me, I'll get into the specificity. Thank you for that musings article. So brilliant. So for me, it always comes down to some form of, with every content that we've done, it comes down to some form of, let me just get everything lined up, just get it all just right, and then dot, 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 right? So in this case, and then I'll play. And so what I saw was the reason, so embedded in, that's basically is the self-hating message. I mean, there are lots of directly ugly self-hating messages that go around it, but that is the self-hating message, that you can't just stop and enjoy your life right now as it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
well,
even
and,
though,
and if
yeah,
I may, Jen,
please.
Please. It's worse than that. You can't just enjoy your life.
Exactly.
You can't stop and enjoy your life.
That's exactly right.
Right? But you just, it doesn't
that's right.
get anything ready that you want to get ready. It's not going to change anything.
And that's brilliant, Sherry, because that's exactly the piece that I saw with why the behavior change follows on it. So, of course, the thing that that obscures is there's nothing that needs to get lined up. Everything is perfect as it is right now. Exactly. It is lined up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the thing is that on the content level, it's all fine. I mean, great, you know, organize the thing or, you know, get together with such and such people or whatever. That's all fine. But if there isn't that behavior change that basically says, like in this case, no, I'm going to stop right now for these 3 minutes and experience how it's glorious, it's perfect right now, then we never get enough space away from the behavior that keeps the illusion in place. So like someone was talking yesterday about the issue of safety. So if I never stop the behaviors that are supposedly going to keep me safe long enough to experience that, wait a minute, I already am safe, that's why the behavior change is so huge, not the particular necessarily even the content of it, but that it breaks that circuit long enough for us to experience what's actually so.
Yes, yes. And it makes real the awareness, the clarity that got you to the point of realizing what the behavior change is.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It reinforces that. So you're going along.
Exactly.
And you know that you have a great life, that you know that everything in life is for you. You know there's nothing wrong. There are no mistakes. It's not a problem, right? And yet it's possible for us to get bamboozled into the behaviors that reinforce something that we actually know is not true.
So well put. That's exactly what I was watching happen. And that's because what else it does is, so there's this behavior change, and then it's like, of course, that immediately produces so much energy because just being present produces so much energy. And it's like, oh, yeah, and you know what? And then I could practice this and this and that and that and that. And
I could get all these things lined up.
That's right.
I could get all these things lined up. Oh, wait, they already are.
And that's why the simplicity of one thing and staying with it on the days when I completely connect and feel it and on the days when I, quote, don't, that my experiences and the trust is growing as we do this cycle over and over and over. I'm in love with this. I really could do it for the rest of my life. That what happens is deeper and deeper and deeper is just that trust that, nope, it's going to unfold. It's unfolding so perfectly. Just stay right with this one simple thing because it's not about the thing. It's about learning the process of it.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's about learning to stay.
Exactly.
Right? That's what you're pointing at. It's staying right here where there is nothing wrong.
Yep.
Attention
yep.
turned inward, not attention
yep.
turned to conditioned mind. Just
yep.
learning to stay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Such a lovely process.
Right.
I'm so grateful. Thank
you,
Sherry.
Me too, me too. All right. Thank you, Jen.
All right.
So happy.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jen. Oh, Sherry, there's nothing more to add to that conversation, except that where I'm sitting, I have the embodiment of staying and experiencing and enjoying life in a cat. Truly, just sitting there. Knowing how to do it. And in contrast, I just watched the hummingbird in the flower, right? But there's a way in which even the movement of that hummingbird is in the quest of sweetness, right?
Yes.
There's a way in which it's about enjoyment, the now,
yes.
here.
Yes,
yeah.
yes. Which is really important because it is also staying.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes, exactly.
Move, right? And so we can relate to that kind of staying. But there's that hummingbird going miles a minute. And that doesn't look like staying. But it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's staying mm-hmm. right in its own nature.
Yes, and that's
yeah.
what Jen was pointing to, that the staying
mm-hmm.
allows us to experience how perfect it is now in
yes.
whatever the process of it. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Anna in Yorkshire.
Hey.
How
are you doing? What do you think? That always throws me for just a split second.
Uh-huh.
and so I you have to say something else, and I go, oh, okay, that ain't
yeah, in Yorkshire now.
Anna and in Yorkshire is great. It's just, which one is this one? Yeah.
Well, Anna in Yorkshire and soon to be home at the monastery. So,
yes, I've heard that. Really
yeah, huh?
Making your way. Kind of
yes.
a la the old days, right? Where it's going to
yeah.
take you like a month to make the crossing, but you're on your way.
Yeah. Exactly. With a stick and a knapsack. Like,
right.
Yeah. Uh huh. So the behavior, I'll tell you what the behavior change and then tell you what the specific is as well.
Okay.
So the behavior change is to listen to the I love you recording when I come through the door, when I've been out and I'm coming back to the house, and also for 30 minutes every evening.
Wow.
I hopped on the suggestion for the I love you recording yesterday, and so I actually got to practice this yesterday evening. And it was just it was that practicing staying. So the specific is that I noticed this suffering process where I get back to the house and I may have had some sort of, you know, just there's a kind of level of, there's a like hummingbird quality to it where the system's just humming with life. And then I've noticed this kind of conditioned transition to look to ego for how to sort of come down from that, how to transition to the rest of the evening. And through kind of breaking this down through the steps of the retreat, I saw that there's this belief and assumption that there has to be a kind of transition in process. So like there's play and then I get home and I have to somehow be a someone transitioning from that to the rest of the evening. So there's this big I in the way and moving from kind of play to seriousness, like, all right, you can't be trusted in this place, so I've really got to look to the mind to work out what to do here.
That's the question, right? You look to the mind. Okay, what do I do now?
Yes.
Yeah, what do I do now? Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, and so so I got to start practicing with the I Love You recording. So yesterday I was out, and there was that kind of hummingbird quality, and came back to the house, started listening to the I Love You recording, and just so the kind of things I would do in the, if I'm looking to the mind, are, you know, be in some sort of duality of I know what I should do to support myself here, but what I'm going to do is kind of get into something, like get into reading something. And as I was listening to the I Love You recording, I just saw, wow, the behaviors that I do when I'm not here and I'm believing that I need to somehow work out how to do this transition, are behaviors that only a person who feels hated does. Yeah. Yeah, so when I was listening to the I Love You recording, it just wasn't possible. It was just like picking her up, getting her ready for bed, getting all, you know, snuggled down with the recorder, and it was just so so loving instead of being in that sort of self-hating struggle place.
So I have a curiosity about that, Anna. When you were doing that I Love You recording, could you have a sense of ego squirming?
Squirming.
Trying to distance itself from trying to was there any of that sort of feeling
from the recording? From you mean it, like it, no?
It, so you're sitting there listening to that recording. And very often, if we're busy, you know, if we can be distracted, especially to go up into conditioned mind, it's hard to be aware of ego. It's very difficult. You know, we talk all the time about that's not you, that's ego, that's not you. And it's just really hard to get that those are not the same, that ego and authenticity are not the same. We can know it theoretically, but when it's happening in the person, it's really hard to sense that difference. So I was just wondering if you were able to sense ego trying to get you to stop doing that, stop focusing on that, think about something else, or get distracted, or if you were actually able to focus on it.
So yesterday evening, there was a quality of focusing on it, and then today, I've just been having it in one ear as I've been going around packing up and doing all my kind of move prep tasks, and what I noticed was ego trying to insert a conversation about what there is to do in between the attention and the recording. To be a kind of like this kind of like metallic sort of barrier between the intention and the recording. So that kind of squirming, definitely today.
And so I just brought that up because I'm hoping that people will increasingly be aware of what it feels like to be have attention on presence, and then to feel, because there's a physical sensation that goes with that squirming that ego is doing.
Yes.
As it's,
yes.
You know, it's in this case, it's right outside the door, and it keeps kind of sticking its head and going,
yes.
Right. And anything to get the attention, and how desperate it becomes when attention is withheld from it for extended periods of time. Yeah.
Mm.
Well, that's very exciting. Happy packing. Mm.
Thank you.
See you soon. Might talk to you.
See you soon,
of course. But it's pretty darn soon. So it's very exciting.
Yep.
Very happy.
I'm on my way, step by step.
Step by step. All right. Thank you, Anna.
All right. Thank you. Take care. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Thanks, Anna. It really is the difference between how we are if we're in an environment that's loving versus an environment that's hateful.
Yeah.
It's so profound to recognize that that hate has an energy that basically causes us to behave in ways that are very different than love does.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, and again, intellectually, of course we know that. Of course we know that. But to bring it down to that subtle sensation level and keep an eye on the sensations in the body when we're experiencing love, and the sensations in the body when we're focused on love or attempting to focus on love, and ego is being deprived of attention.
Mm, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, one second. Hi, sorry. You were
Are
in
we
my
in your
pocket.
Okay.
No,
bag?
You were in my pocket?
Pocket.
You were in my pocket. Sorry.
Uh-huh. I can feel it.
I just came back from traveling, so I just wanted to check in and say that I'm back and recommit, because I totally missed this month because I was traveling with my parents. And I'm still not far enough in the route of enlightenment to be able to do this when traveling with my parents. But I'm on my way. I will now. I'm catching up with everything. And every year that I go home, I always go home in July. And every year I hang on a little bit longer before totally losing practice and sleeping all day and laying by the beach and drinking. So I'm getting better every year.
Uh-huh.
So it was a big success.
That is good. Now, I just want to point out that I don't know if you're doing this out of kindness or what, just calling it traveling instead of saying spending a month in Italy. Because, of course, making a statement like that fills me with envy and
no,
jealousy,
but it was, I think we have different opinions about Italy. It's nice to see your point of view, though.
for you, you were traveling, and you were seeing your parents, right? And it's such an important distinction, right? Because, and this actually does have a practice basis, okay? Because if you said, I spent a month in Italy, everything in me that loves Italy goes, I want to do that. That sounds wonderful. Okay? And so it's a whole different karmic orientation, a whole different conditioned reaction to it than what you have, which is you're traveling to see your parents. And your associations, you don't live there any longer, right? You've gone to another part of the world to make your life. So all of those associations that you have, that the things that pull you into conditioning are very different from the things that pull somebody else into conditioning, say me. Are you with me on all of that?
I am. Also because, you know, I came back to the winter and the rain and work, and I'm happy as a clam, you know. So,
believe it or not, I do think about that, Isota, because it's summer here, obviously, and it's mm-hmm. very warm. And it actually dropped in this morning that, of course, I thought you were in Peru. And it dropped in that, wow, but this is Isota's winter. And so, you know, just, and then that connection of coming for the New Year's retreat and how,
and freezing.
You know,
yeah.
you're leaving your summer to come to our winter. It's just, those things are just so, I think they're so important for us to consider, because it does, however briefly, pull us out of the unconscious assumption that this, whatever is being presented to me in this moment, is the totality of awareness.
Yes, yes, it's super helpful. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I have nothing to say about that. it's super
yeah.
helpful and fantastic. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
I just want to commit to catch up. By the weekend, I will be, even before hopefully, but I have my personal deadline by the weekend to be totally caught up with everything. And I'm super
and
happy and
excited. And it doesn't feel like a pressure. You're happy to do it. As you say, you're happy to come back to work and your home and your life. You're happy to come back to your life. And part of that is supporting yourself to be as completely in your life as you can be, which is to be focused on presence.
Yes, and needless to say, I owe this to practice, so I'm super happy. The
yeah,
capacity to enjoy that, you know, and
That's
to do
right.
that.
Well,
and it's so man, beautiful.
I'll say one more thing before I let you go. The capacity to recognize and realize what you have without allowing any voices of self-hate to come in and make anything wrong about anything.
Oh, can I tell you one last thing? And then I really, that when I started practicing almost 6 years ago, I wrote down that this will never be something that make me feel guilty. And I always follow the rule. And this is why, for example, even if I have no idea what the current assignment is, it's just forbidden in my mind to feel guilty about it.
Mm-hmm.
And with the years, I added it, this attitude, to other stuff, you know, thanks to mm-hmm. the help of some coaches. And I'm really happy about it because I can thoroughly enjoy it, you know.
Yeah, and I want to underline that because I wish everyone in the world would make that a commitment for themselves, that they will never use awareness practice. They will never allow ego to use awareness practice to make them feel bad or feel guilty or feel inadequate or anything else. That this is the refuge. This is the safe place. This is the place of compassion where however we are is simply how we are. And we know that we are doing the best that we can do, and we are committed to doing any and everything we can to do better as soon as we know there is a better. And we don't do it because there's something wrong with how we are. We do it because we want to be more unconditionally loving.
Oh, how beautiful. Yes. Amen.
All right. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Gashon.
Gashon.
That's beautiful indeed, Terry. So we have time for one more caller. So here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini.
Hello. Who's this?
Hi. This is Rob from Minnesota.
Hello, Rob. What are you seeing?
Well, I, as with all of these focuses, there have been true surprises, which are just uh-huh. marvelous. And for this one, when I first saw the topic announced, I kind of went, oh, this is home territory for me. this will, you know, because I've been able to build my life around play in many ways. And To my surprise, I saw that there were parts, there were certain very specific kinds of play that conditioning was able to turn, to make very separate from everything else. And that was very enlightening to see that, illuminating. And so my practice has been, I made a special recording, kind of a myth-busting recording, that goes directly against the stories told around these particular kind of activities. And my commitment has been to listen to that. And it's really been helpful.
And can you give an example?
Yes.
You're good at play, and yet.
So, for example, I am very comfortable in front of a room of 300 people improvising an hour-long talk according to a sketchy outline. So that's, but writing emails about the collaborative projects that I do and kind of inviting people, conditioning was able to tell a whole story about that. And what I saw about that was that the big lightning bolt was to see it's not the thing itself. It sort of connects to everything that everybody's been saying today. Once I'm in the activity itself, I'm there in the present, it's playful, it's wonderful. It's the before and the after. And I really saw that clearly. And one of the things that it illuminated is that I've been a creative writer since I was a teenager, and it's been sort of this lifelong pattern that right after creative writing, I'll have this real attack of conditioning, is how I would call it now, but sort of an instant micro depression. And sort of, you got to take it back, you're too exposed, people will hate you, you know, all kinds of stories. And it has been so helpful just to be able to not even engage with that, just to turn away and just be able to have this recording that helps me see those are just stories. You don't have to believe them. And just this morning, for example, I was doing a collaborative project with some people in Ireland. I was up early in the morning, and we had a ton of fun, and everybody's laughing, and we're riding up a storm. And I started to see conditioning creep in after it. And with the help of this month's work and the recording, I just went, I am not even going to take one step down that road. I do not have to do that anymore. And, typically, as so many people say, it's the scary buildup and then the brutal debriefing. That's the painful part.
Because what you describe so clearly is the backlash that is meant to make you self-conscious. Right? During the process, we could say you were experiencing self-awareness. So there's an expanded awareness of you, of Rob, and these people in this circumstance, and you're there and you're having fun and all of that. And then and ego is not having it's not getting what it considers its fair share, which would be all of the attention from everybody. Right? And so as soon as you stop, it comes in with that self-consciousness that is meant to take all of the attention and bring it back to ego.
Yes. Yep, absolutely.
And that's the one you don't have to do.
Exactly. It's been one of my just amazing gifts of this period is that I think it was in an email class or something, you simply said, you can just turn away from that conversation. And I know it's been that was the time where it just clicked for me, and I finally got it. It's like, when I see that starting, I just come back to the present and start playing with what's here now, and I don't even have to do any of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a liberation.
It is liberation, and it's like magic, isn't it?
Yes.
Just realizing that, because it doesn't feel possible to just not do that until suddenly we realize there's nothing making me do that. I have to volunteer to do that. I'm in charge of the attention. It's not.
Yes.
Ah.
Yeah. So it's so it's both super simple, and it's taken years and years of strong practice to get there.
Oh, yes.
Because you have
absolutely.
Because it says, well, you know, aren't you scared of what will happen? And you have to just over and over practice saying, well, try me. Let's see what happens. Show me if anything happens. I dare you. Then nothing happens.
Nothing does. Except you don't feel bad. And it doesn't take very long to catch on that, well, that's not a bad reward. I'm all right with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sangha. Thank you, Ashwini. Mm.
And that brings us to the end of a wonderful show, Sherry. Here is our assignment. Your assignment, beginning today, your daily practice will be to, one, start your day by listening to a recording from day 20, practice your behavior change, record what you notice at the end of the day.
All right. We can do this.
We can do this.
All right.
All right.
Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you.
And thank you, everybody. Take care. Go happy.